Hey everyone, this is Jocelyn and welcome to this edition of Leap. Joining me today is Kristen Clark. Kristen is a success coach, a seasoned marketing expert, Gallup certified strengths coach, mentor, public speaker, commissioned artist, and creator of Be Your Best Formula. Her corporate expertise in direct response marketing And she has a reputation for guiding young managers to become great leaders, which drove her passion for mentoring young people. She's also a Gallup certified strengths coach and works with businesses that want to build strengths-based culture and with students to guide them in choosing a career path. So Kristen, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, thank you, Jocelyn. I love doing this and we had such a great conversation last week. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And so for those of you who don't know about all what this conversation, I speak with all of my guests prior to as a kind of get to know you session. And as Kristen and I were talking, she shared, I asked her, and which we will talk about in this conversation, is, what got you started and what really drove you to do this. And there was a specific stat that you share with me about what 70% of all workers in the US are not engaged in their work. And wow, did that blow my mind. So actually that might be a wonderful place to start. Let's start there. What's that all about?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is actually a stat that I took from Gallup. Gallup's a world-renowned research firm. So always trust what they put out. But as a Gallup certified strengths coach, of course, I love their work and have bought into a lot of what they talk about. But the stat is, yes, that there only 30% of workers are actually actively engaged in their work, meaning 70% of people are not enjoying what they're doing. Oh my gosh.
That makes me sad.
It does, right? And when you think about the number of hours that we spend working and to not being enjoying it, that's just crazy.
It's, I think a lot of what drives me to do this show, it's what drives me to continue to push my own passions, because I will tell you that that's something that I fell into for many, many years. And I will say that it still exists in my world. It's such a joy to be able to create my own business and create this craft, this life. I also have a job, and that job, there are aspects of it that I enjoy and there are aspects of it that I feel stifled.
Absolutely. So, and I know we'll get into this, but I did this same thing. I had the corporate career and for 6 years endured not enjoying what I was doing. But I got to tell you, even in the world that I'm in now with coaching, there are definitely days that I'm like, ooh, I'm not really loving this part. But there's an opportunity to, when you recognize it, to choose to figure out how to make it better. And I think that's what a lot of people are missing out on.
Yeah. So actually let's jump in. Let's start with your story, like your journey that got you to crafting your own business and creating this space.
Absolutely. And okay, this scares some people because I start at age 14, but I go fast through this.
Well, you and I already pre-discussed. I was familiar and you go for it. We went up going through a 40-year history of, I'm like, sorry, aging there, but
This will not take that long, I promise. Well, and I go back to age 14 because that's when I understood that I loved working. Uh-huh. I had my first job scooping ice cream for $1.50 an hour, by the way. So that tells you how long ago. But it was child labor, so $1.50 was going right at that point. But I found that I just really loved working a lot more than I like going to school. Okay. So got myself through Catholic high school, paid for that on my own. Put myself through college working, waiting tables and working in restaurants. Fast forward into getting into my corporate career. First corporate job was in marketing at a pizza franchise. So it actually all segued really nicely.
Funny how that always works.
Yes. And what I learned there is this. I actually got to work with the president of the company very often, which I loved because it gave me a lot of satisfaction that, man, I was working with the top guy. But I got a lot more responsibility. I've got a lot more pay. I got promotions, and that cycle kept happening, right? Got into another career in marketing with home security companies. Got to a point where I got my VP position. That was the coveted position. That's what I wanted. That's what I strive for. And after several years, and I told you it was six, the magic number was six for me, look back and I was like, I hate this. I don't want to get out of bed in the morning. Keep in mind, my 14-year-old self was like, I love work, right? And I'm now 48 at the time, and I didn't want to get out of bed to go to work. And I actually ended up going to doctors and going, there's something wrong with me. I'm exhausted all the time. And I know that you've had some of those same experiences. Yeah. So what I did is, you know, I kept forcing doctors to see me. They kept shooing me away and telling me I was just old. I was going through menopause or any other, you know, conversation they could come up with, because the blood work wasn't saying anything different. As fate would have it, a new CEO came into our company, and marketing is always the first to go. The VP is like, get on the chopping block, bye, you're gone. And that happened about 3-4 weeks into it. He came into my office and he goes, yeah, you gotta go. My guy's coming in about 2 hours. So can you leave?
Wow.
Yes. And I was actually happy. I drove home with the biggest smile on my face, Jocelyn, because I was like, oh my gosh, I don't have to do this anymore.
Isn't that an amazing thing when you can actually transition it that quickly? Because most people look at job loss as this absolute terror and fear, because it's like, oh my gosh, it's a security blanket. And that's not, there's not a bad thing about it, but it is. It's like, okay, this is my paycheck. This gives me routine. It gives me purpose. It may not be aligned, but it sort of satisfies some of those checkpoints, right?
Oh, for sure. And trust me, the fear definitely was there. You know, the fear of, but my fear was more, I hated doing this. So what in the heck am I going to do? What direction do I go now? You know, like you said, it was my identity. And I'll tell you, there are days that I still associate with that identity, right? Of, I was running marketing departments. Wow. You know, aren't you cool? Yay for you. but it's definitely gotten less, you know. Now I look back at it with some fondness, but also it taught me a lot. So I'll tell you how I, figured this stuff all out, or at least began my journey of figuring it out. I was out networking and I talked to this lady and she said, Kristen, have you ever taken the Clifton Strengths Assessment? I said, oh, I love that stuff. You know, absolutely, I'd love to do it. So I went out, took my assessment, came back, and she looked at my results and she was like, oh, okay. And I was like, hey, wait, this is supposed to be fun. And yeah. Right. And she said, oh, no, hold on. Let me ask you a question. She said, Kristen, you scare people, don't you? And I was like, I do. And I don't know why. And she said, well, let me tell you. And she went on to explain some of my strengths are a little bit intense. But she also let me know that I've got some softening strengths to help me out as well. And it was hugely telling. Number one, I when I was looking at it, I was like, yeah, this is me. This is absolutely me. Hit the nail on the head, hands down. But what was interesting is the other thing that I found out is I'm not really good at the strategic thinking themes. And I went back, well, let me back up for people that have not experienced the Clifton Strengths Assessment. It's a assessment that you can take that helps you understand your natural talents. And these are actually talents that you're born with. And there is some nurturing there, but these are God-given talents, which is totally cool, you know, that we were all built so extraordinarily. The whole thought around it is, if you focus on your weaknesses, you can get better. But if you focus on your strengths, you can get exponentially better at what you do. And when you're working within your strengths, they actually energize you and make you happy. And I was like, okay, I can buy into that all day long, right? Mm-hmm. And I think you've taken the assessment.
In fact, when we end this call, I'm going to go get my book because I'm going to share with you what mine are, or at least what the last time I took the test, because I think I've noticed for myself it's shifted a little bit. From the first time I took it to the second time to the third time having taken it. So there have been some common core items, but some of the additional pieces have shifted a little.
Right. Yeah. So, and you know, when you think about this and they do talk about their God-given talents, you're right. The numbers might shift, you know, and you've got some adjustment in there because there is an element of nurture within it, but your core strengths are definitely there for life, which is really cool. Yeah. But going back, when I looked at my strengths and I looked at the top of my list and also looked at the bottom of my list, and there are 34 strengths within the program, most of my strategic thinking were at the bottom of my list. And I went, oh my gosh, when I got promoted into this VP position, in my head, it was, now you've got to be this awesome strategic thinker. And I was like, Kristen, that is not what brought you to the party. Yeah. What brought you to the party is the fact that you're really good at getting people to move forward and get stuff done and to actually enjoy the journey. And that's not, and I loved it, loved work. I told you that I love my work. When I was doing that and other people were in charge of Kristen, that just went really, really well. When I got put in charge of myself, I messed it all up and I got out of my lane.
And we talked about this when we first spoke, and I want to adjust that statement because it's this is now like opportunity to really get to know a little bit more about who you are, not what you do, but who you are as a person, because I think we've all been in those positions, you know, for myself. Before moving to Colorado, where I am today, I spent a decade in organ and tissue donation. At about year 8, I garnered a merger with the largest iBank in the world. Mm-hmm. My company was suffering financially, and we knew we had to do something. And I was in enough of a leadership role that I wasn't going to sit around and allow everyone around me to lose their job and that service to disappear to the community. Just, it wasn't going to happen on my terms. I wasn't empowered to do so, did it anyway, and it worked out. And when we went through that process, I got to shift roles. I was no longer just kind of doing my job. I spent quite a bit of time in preparation for that merger because a lot of people, it was a very quiet deal. And so it was just myself. And it was like one other person in my office that actually knew. So I spent a lot of time by myself behind closed doors working through the processes of this. And fast forward, when that merger finalized, and it went beautifully, this was a very copacetic. It was not this angry takeover. It was a very welcoming opening opportunity. When the dust started to settle and we started to settle into our new way of being, I was, you know, graciously placed back in my former role. And I hated it because I had grown.
Yeah.
You had to take it. And I'd seen new things and I touched new experiences. And I was like, this isn't. And I drive to hospitals for my meetings crying, sobbing, because there was something inside of me that was not fulfilled. Right. And so I think that like the work that you're doing is so incredibly important. And we all have to, I think it's important for all of us to get to do that part, like to understand who we are and then live into that, because, you know, that can be very disruptive, right? When you remove that label of who you thought you were, mm-hmm. and now you put yourself in this new role and you're like, what is this? Like when I moved here and really the way that role actually really ended was about a year, less than a year later. No, we had just finished the merger. Like the ink was barely dry on it. And my husband at the time and I had decided we were going to move to Colorado. And a month after that trip, I was in Seattle in our new corporate offices, sitting down with our chief operating officer, who I'd met once, who is now my new supervisor, and said, look, we're doing this thing. 9 months later, I scripted my own exit, and they deleted my position for me at my request and gifted me. They gave me the gift to say, go hunt, go follow your dreams. And I, even at that moment, and I can look back reflectively, that was a gift. And I knew it, but what I didn't know was, how am I supposed to do now?
I know, right? Well, and isn't it amazing, though, how things get put in front of you? And it really, in hindsight, you look back and you're like, they've been put in front of me for a reason. Yeah. And I see that more and more now, but I think I'm looking for it more now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I say have an awareness of it. And yes. I don't know how spiritual you are when you believe in energy, if you believe in energy in fifth dimensional world where there's this thing called law of attraction. This is an area of that I've really dove into in my life in the last 3 years. And I've had more awareness around when things, opportunity, people, conversations are presented in my path.
Yes. And yes, I guess too, what I've seen is I am more aware. I'm looking for those. I'm listening closer to which direction is this pulling me? Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's really interesting. And, you know, I got to tell you, I'm Catholic. So a lot of times how I feel about the Catholic religion is that we don't talk about our faith as much as other religions do. So it's been interesting for me to start believing that things are being put in front of me. Not to, you know, it's just harder for me to talk that God's doing this. My dad passed away 6 years ago. So a lot of times I'll go, thanks, Dad, you know, keep pushing me, keep pushing me in the right direction. So where it's coming from, I don't know, but it's definitely coming. You know, and I think if more people did just kind of sit back and listen to that, they would see it too. And it's really kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we talked about, or you already just sort of mentioned this, I want to go back to, you know, that when you had that knowing that then with the new CEO coming in and that you were going to be dismissed and you were driving home with that sense of relief, mm-hmm. because there was that sense of dread going in every day, and you were seeking answers outside of yourself, and your body, what was your body was really doing was revolting, because your body knew, your mind might not have known, your body knew this was
absolutely it knew. And you know, how I tie that in is, you know, with strengths. And why I bought so much into that program is when you're doing the things that you're not good at, it is actually harder. It's you're having to really think you're not playing within your lane. And it goes to show you that whole idea of when you're trying to get better at your weaknesses, which for me, it was the strategy piece of the business. It was hard. And I was forcing myself to do it every day. When I got back into, like when I would sit in cross-functional teams at work, I would be in my glory. I mean, those are the days that I was like, okay, this wasn't so bad. And it's probably what kept me there for 6 years, uh-huh. is because I saw those little glimpses of, no, I really do love this, you know, but I wasn't getting enough of it. So, and I've actually, you know, being now on my own as a coach, I've actually changed my practice to make sure that I have more of those experiences. So that I know that I'm using my natural talents, but I've had to consciously think about it and choose to put those into my practice.
Good for you. Yep. Have you actually sat down and sort of written out your values, or do you utilize your strengths as your guideposts?
I did, yeah, I went fighting and screaming to do this. It's funny, I've got a good friend that is high in strategy, which, by the way, I build people around me now that are high in strategy so that I can go, hey, I need to borrow, you know, this gift that you have. So it was one friend that was high in strategy, and she's like, Kristen, you've got to do your core values. And I was like, oh man, I don't want to do that. I finally was like, okay, I'll just appease you. I'm going to do it. And it was really interesting what came out of it, because what I found is that my core values actually did tie to my strengths in some ways. Like for me, loyalty is really, really big. You know, I worked for companies that were really good to their customers, and then I've worked for companies that were not really good to their customers. And that did not set well with me at all, that, you know, that we weren't thinking of the customer first. You know, there were definitely core values that were playing in on that. But yeah, how about you? I mean, why did you ask me that question? I'm curious.
So the reason I ask is I think that our values serve as our guideposts to help us allow us to stay on our best path. So for myself, I know that I have a lot of interest in a lot of things. My area of expertise is probably a little more finite. My area of interest and growth and desire is very, very big. And so I very often get sort of distracted by shiny object syndrome. And it's not like diamonds and stuff like that, because that stuff doesn't appeal to me. It's more about, oh, this situation looks really interesting, or this is like really fun. So a concrete example of that. I am an athlete by nature. I've been an athlete since I can remember. I mean, I think I set foot on soccer field at eight years old, and at 43, I'm still playing and I love it. Yet, you know, I love playing soccer. I learned how to rock climb in the past year. I'm just starting to learn how to, well, before COVID, I was just learning how to climb outdoors. I will return to that. You know, my former husband and I built two businesses in the cycling industry. So I'm a bit of a cyclist. You know, I'm a triathlete. I run. I'm doing a little bit of weightlifting. Like I have all this variety, right? And that will also go, that actually also appeals into my own coaching practice. And I have to really kind of say, all right, if I have time, and I'm really good about if I choose to, really good about structuring my time so that I can do all the things that I want to do. Yet if I really want to get really good at something or excel at a few things, that means I have to choose where am I going to focus most of my time, right? And that's a hard thing for me because I want to do it all. So that's where I use my values and my strengths to say, these are the things that I'm going to get that 80-20 rule. Like, I'm going to get 80% of this out of just spending 20% of my time. Mm-hmm. So that was a really long answer, but I also talk about that a lot with my own clients about how they can structure their life, and not specific to time, but when they're trying to make decisions for themselves. Because I work with men and women who often come to me with relationship challenges, which really comes down to, you know, loving yourself, right? Your relationship with self.
Absolutely.
And you know, when we kind of go through a lot of these scenarios of whatever's kind of coming up for them within the construct of their specific relationship, oftentimes it comes to what, you know, creating your boundaries in a healthy way and sticking to them.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I see that sort of as a parallel.
Oh, for sure it is. Yeah. And, you know, and even, you know, when I talk about strengths too with clients, it's about be really excited about what your strengths are.
Yes.
And feel okay with staying in your lane. I've even had clients of mine turn down job interviews, or not interviews, but turn down jobs because they listened to what they were going to be required to do. And they're like, no, it doesn't suit my strengths. And I'm like, yay, you got it. Because it's choosing to put yourself in those situations that you're going to thrive. And then it's about you at this point. It's not about, oh, this company wants me. Who cares? And well, that obviously plays into it. But you know what I'm saying? It's that you choose that this is going to be a good position for you. And I know for me personally, a lot of times growing up, it was, oh, they're willing to take me. I'm in, you know, and it wasn't about me at that point.
Yeah.
Now, one could also say as you're younger, sometimes there is some exploration that you need to do and experience new things.
Absolutely.
But all these people that are 45 and 50 going, I hate my life. I hate what I'm doing. That's, I think, the opportunity right there to say, let me think more about who I truly am and what I want for the next 10 years of my life of work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of your life. So I'm going to take that one step further because, you know, yes, you have a very specific area of focus, and I think that's important, just like mine, you know, you to have that very clear piece of what aspect we're going to work on. However, when you open up and understand and learn that aspect of you, it actually does tie to all of you. You are that same person in a relationship, in work, as a parent, as a partner, as an individual, as a friend, as a member of a community or multiple communities. You're still that same essence of a being. Yet we put our masks on of who we think we're supposed to be for all these other people.
And you know what? I'm glad you actually brought that up because I wholeheartedly believe that's true. And because for me, how I look at it is, if you're not happy in your work role, you're typically not happy in your life role and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely think that they cross over. And, you know, like some things I help clients with is if you're not getting some of this enjoyment and energy from your strengths at work, if you've got those opportunities at home, that's okay because they're starting to weave together.
Yes.
Right. So it might be somebody that's high in relationship type domains where they're not getting that at work. Maybe they're sitting in a cube all day them by themselves, you know, chugging away. Yes. But as long as they've got great friend groups, they're getting that energy. So yeah, absolutely. I think you're right.
Yeah. And it's important that you have that serving in some aspect. And hey, it's even better if you can get it in all aspects.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I think that goes back to the whole choice thing too, that you're making choices, intentional choices. And that word has really resonated with me these last couple of years. It's being intentional about what you're doing and not just letting yourself glide through life and not taking charge of who you want to be. Yeah. And that sounds like a lot of work, and it kind of is, you know, but it's a huge payoff to learn more about how you're built and truly what your core values are, what you want out of life, to sit down and think about that. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think that we do enough of that.
I'd wholeheartedly agree. And I think that's what, you know, as as the country and most half of the world has been asked to sort of sit back right now, you know, because we've been asked to be staying at home or safer at home, or if you're in Georgia, you're allowed to do whatever you want now, whatever. But we're in this place now that we've been really like been asked to slow down. And I'm not saying that everyone has that ability, right? You know, I'm a parent of a young child, and I'm fortunate that I share him with his father and that I've been gifted with more time. However, I know that I have friends right now that are balancing, they're still working full-time somehow, and now they're trying to balance being a school teacher, and I know that that's a lot, yet they're no longer having to commute and having to do some of these other aspects, so there's been a swap. By and large, though, what's been gifted is space.
Yes.
You slow down, and there, and within that, you have this choice of, you have this opportunity to either, or choice to sort of dive into the media, listen to this fear-based, oh my God, like the world is ending, or find ways to numb and soothe, or you can learn to learn more about you and who you are and what makes you happy, and lean into those joy moments, the things that bring you the highest joy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. this is the space we're in right now.
I know. And I do hope people are taking advantage of it, because, you know, instead of sitting and watching TV, you know, to just sit back outside and think, which we don't have a lot of time to do because the world is moving so fast. I think it's.
I challenge that, though. I'm going to challenge you on that, because I don't disagree with you, because a lot of people do say that. I don't have time. Well, if you have time for like 5 hours binging on Netflix, you have time. It's just how you choose to use the time. And it's not a knock on anybody. It's just an observation. You know, when I had my own awakening after I left my marriage, and really I had a lot of space. I mean, I know what I was gifted with, because I came out here, I didn't really know anybody. I'd walked away from my career. My career and I made this very thank you, and we're going to go on to new things. And I was gifted with a work from home opportunity. Yet I had a lot of time on my hands. And what was I found so fascinating is that I rarely watched TV during that. Rarely. When I used to watch 68 hours like a day before I moved here. And I sort of stuck to that. And what I've found is that there has been more discovery, and discovery within me, and also discovery of other things that are happening around me.
Well, let's talk about why people are doing that, though. You know, why are we numbing ourselves with Netflix for 5 hours at a stretch? Because let's face it, this is scary stuff. And I'm going to put that in air quotes. Yes. It's scary to go, I'm going to look at me and figure out what I want, because you don't know what that answer is going to be. And it might mean it's time to leap.
Yes.
And that's scary. That is super scary.
Why is it though?
You know,
how do we do that?
Different. It's new. Well, let's go back to, you know, climbing the ladder, having the VP salary, and now pivoting. I hate that word right now because it's just being overused, but navigating to, that's not what I need right now. What I need is to explore this strengths thing and work with other people and teach them, because it's so important to understand. So I'm going to move away from who I was, and now I'm going to be somebody else. And I'll tell you, one of the tough things during that time was, for me, I had all these people around me that saw me as Kristen Clark, you know, VP-ness, and not Kristen Clark coach. And in my head, I was going, why in the hell should they believe me? Why should they think that I can coach them? So there's,
you know what I mean? Talking right now, because you're you. No one gets to define you. You get to define you.
I get that now, but yeah. But taking that leap was really hard. And let's go back to, you know, there was success there, right? I had people that were going, okay, we want to keep you going up and up and up and up, and trust you and put people in, you know, you in charge of people, our people. There was a lot of trust there, but then to take that leap and to go, now I'm just me. I don't have this big corporate name behind me. It's just me. Mm-hmm. That was, I had to get used to that. I had to be okay going out and saying, I do have something you need.
Yeah. And that's just it. I mean, it is. And I don't mean to dismiss that feeling, because I will tell you that I honestly had my own epiphany maybe a week or 2 weeks ago, specifically around this in particular. So I had started my coaching practice last year, and I fought and fought and fought my ideal client. I just did, because it inflamed something that was very deep within me that I'm still working on, that I will continue to work on. It's like my lifelong mission. And there was a lot of like, I'm doing this on my own, because I have built two businesses, and there were successes out of the gate. Yet I built both those businesses with a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an epiphany the other day that I was like, okay, number one, the coaching practice is coming back because I love it. Just as much as I love this. Almost. the podcast is really my number one love. My kiddo's probably somewhere in there too, but he's just a different kind of love, and he's a love bug, and I adore him. These are mine, right? These are mine. The coaching, though, when I was like, okay, well, what am I going to rebrand it as? Because I had branded it under Leap, and it didn't feel right. It just was like not aligning for me. And I was like, it has to be my name. It has to be me. If I'm going to say that these are the things that I'm going to assist in delivering with my clients, or helping them, you know, be guideposts for them, or you know, hold their hand through this process, that's me. It's not some other name. It's not some other entity. It is who I am. And when I got that, when I really got it, shit out of me. If I fail, then it's my failure. And I'm like, nope, that's not the case. That's not it. If it, you know, it just means I have to continue to navigate and continue to shift. And I haven't failed, because I've already had clients come to me. Every single client that's come to me has been in this specific space that I had already known, even though I was afraid of it. And they're choosing me. I'm not going after this, but they're choosing me.
Right.
So,
and you're right. In this business, it is all about alignment, and it is about navigating through. I had a wonderful lady teach me about, Kristen, you can't be everything to everybody. You can't go out there and say you're this great corporate trainer and you work with high school and college students, right? And I was like, she's like, you got to choose one to at least go out and be, to promote yourself. Don't turn away work, but promote yourself this way, right? And I really looked at it and I said, I love young people. I love that they're starting out and they're so excited. And I really started with trying to get that high schooler, because I'm like, man, if I can catch them before they go to college and help them figure out a career path, their life's going to be so much simpler. They're going to know themselves better. They're not going to be 45 and go, I didn't choose this. It chose me. And here I am. And I don't like it. So it's interesting, because over the last year, I've really been promoting that. And what I'm finding more is that I really, the clients that are coming to me are going to be sophomores in college, and they're to that point where they're afraid, because they're like, I really don't know what I'm doing. Can I get the help? And I really find that even though I still love working with the high school student, they're really my kind of, they're my client. Yeah. And I'm looking at it and going, and you know what? I love that person that's just getting out of college and going, I don't think that I know what I want to do. Can you help me? And then I realized I love that new manager that's going, I don't know what I'm doing. Can you help me? So I'm, you know, it's a navigation. It's a, you know, find the right place.
And you're finding that what I think you've discovered is a pain point.
Mm-hmm.
Because that pain point is so imperative. That's when people are willing to do the work and to do the growth. And it is also a distinctive piece that they're looking external to, of like, someone gave me this thing and I don't know what to do. And what you're just doing, and what coaches are so wonderful at, is holding the space and holding them to their own being. Because someone's looking at, you know, like if it were me, for instance, and I've certainly been in that role, right? When I first, my first manager role, and I was like, what the heck am I supposed to do?
Oh, don't you remember that?
Yeah. Well, and I was, I mean, I started working at 17, I think, was my 16 or 17. And I loved working too, and I've always enjoyed working. And to the point that my former husband, that was always like a sticky point. He's like, you like this more than anything else. And I was like, yeah, I do. And there's nothing wrong with it. So bye-bye. But, you know, I love it. It makes it, you know, enlivens me. And I actually, as a 16-year-old, 17, how older I was, I wasn't just going to go get a job. Like, that wasn't it. I was very, very particular about the job that I chose. And I worked at a clothing store. Okay. I worked at a clothing store, and by, I think, the second year, I was a floor manager. I was 18 years old. I think I was freshman, and I was like coming back from finishing, it was right before freshman year in college. And I barely been there. I'm like, I'm a floor manager? Like, what? Like, people have to listen to me? and it wasn't like people get to, like, people listen to me. Like, I'm in charge. It was like, crap.
Oh, crap, I'm in charge. Yeah.
Yeah. And then my next, like, my first real job, I had a team of, I think, 10 college students that I managed, and I managed the tri-state area and a marketing department, and I actually had the strongest team out of the entire company, because I think at that point I became a little more fearless. It's like I didn't really care so much what other people were going to tell me or show me how to do it. I actually started believing in me.
Mm-hmm.
And that waxes and wanes. I don't think that I've been consistent with that.
Oh, and I don't know that you can be, because right, we're still human. We still have those moments of doubt. Yeah, I gotta tell you, I do love that moment. Every time you kept going, oh no, I love that moment and watching other people go through that, because it is so like, oh, man, this just got real. You know, like this is, they're paying me and now they're expecting me to actually work, you know, and make that money. Okay, what do I do next? I always found it fun when I'd walk into a new agency and a new marketing agency, because it's, you can always count on the fact that they'll have the head of the agency there. They'll have the main guy for your account. They'll have a couple worker bees, and then they'll have the guy that just started 2 weeks ago every time. And I would always look at that guy that just started, and I go, hey, Joe, what are you doing on my business? And they always did one of these where they look back, you know, behind, like she's talking to me, because they've been told just sit in here and don't talk.
Yes.
And I'm like, nope, I want to know what you're going to do. And those were the guys that I'd always say, listen, you're looking at my data. When you come to these meetings, I need you to tell me what you're seeing. I'm depending on you. And I'll tell you what, giving them that, that go ahead, like I'm trusting you and they know that. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you the great results that I had with those team members. They never wanted to be off my account because they're like, she's depending on me. I want to be there. And I love seeing that just shine every time they come and they know they did a good job. So yeah, I love that.
I see. What I also see with that is there's a freshness there because they haven't, you know, they're newer to the team. They haven't been conditioned to, this is how this company works or this environment works. Right. And because those become limitations, even though you can come in with the most creative, bombastic ideas, you know, that over time starts to shift because you get more accustomed to the environment that you're working in. So I love that's the energy you're tapping into when you walk in the door.
Well, and you know what? The other piece is I see it as a disruption too, because I'm putting the agency on notice to go, don't tell him to shut up. You know, don't tell him to not talk in my meetings. He's the guy that's going to make or break my business. The rest of you, the suits, sorry, you know, you're a big help and I appreciate you, but these are the people that are going to get my job done. So it's kind of fun too, to walk in as a client and be able to say, I don't know the way you're doing this. I want them to be able to talk and tell me what they think, because mm-hmm. they're going to have those fresh ideas, you know? Yeah. So I could go on about that forever. So if you've got something else you want to talk about.
Yeah, no, I think it's just a point worth making. And I think what I actually want to go to with that is that we always get to be that new person, no matter where we are in life or how far down the road that we think we are. So I have a couple people that I follow, and when I say that, I say that very loosely. Like, I'm a big fan of Gabrielle Bernstein and trust the universe and, you know, kind of surrender and allow rather than taking charge. And I'm an Aries, right? So I'm a bold, take charge, power through, create, move. And here she's sort of the opposite of just like allow. So it's a good lesson for me. And I love it when I lean into that. Wow, do I feel amazing? Another person that I follow is Gary Vee. And gosh, he's on the opposite scale of things, right? He's high energy, high impact, has done a lot in his career, is his early 40s. And yet, if you ever listen to him talk to entrepreneurs at any age, or just listen to him, that's a big thing that he says is, and I believe it, because I believe it because it's happened for me, is it doesn't matter how old or young you are. It just doesn't. You always get to be you. You get to follow your passion no matter what and no matter when.
Absolutely. And you know, too, that's interesting you say that, because I do remember when I was younger and being in a corporate environment, it was intimidating to be in a room of older people where you walked in and you thought, man, they know so much. And the reality is, like me walking into that agency, I wanted to know new ideas. It was about, you know, you're here for a purpose. We wanted you. Let's give you that authority and that openness to say, tell me what you know. And because, you know, the reality of this, and I don't think enough younger people know this, we know that you don't know everything. We know that there's going to be stuff you stumble over. And guess what? As people that have gone through it before, we get it and we don't care. It's more about, we can fill in the gaps for you. Tell us what you're thinking, because you have these new ideas. We wanted you, you know, blossom here and enjoy. Now, I don't know that every place is that way, but if that's
not
the type
that.
Of, you know, if that's the type of environment you want, it goes back to having a choice and going, wow, I interviewed with that person. I really like them. They feel like my people. I'm going to choose to go here versus walking into a company. And I'm sure you've done this. I know I have, where you walk in and you're like, oh, this doesn't feel like me. It feels really confining to me. I probably shouldn't choose to be here, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've had both ends of that.
Yeah.
And yeah, so a company I worked for when I think it was the first job that I had, when I had a work from home thing, which was great. And then I started working for a company, and I think I lasted, and this is never happened in my life, but talk about really misaligned. I was there for 3 weeks and I cried every single day. And I know why, because I'd come in and we had group meetings and I asked lots of questions and I was told I was disruptive. And I was told that this is how, you know, we devised this formula and this is how the formula works. And if you follow this formula, you will have success. And I was like challenging that because it didn't work for me. And yeah, 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You did a lot better job than I did, because I told you that last company I was at for like 2.5 years. And quite honestly, it never fit. I just allowed myself to endure it. And it was, I look back now and I was like, man, what were you thinking? But you know, I knew now I would never do it again. If I was that unhappy, I'd be taking action and getting something done. It just wasn't a good fit. And quite honestly, not their fault. That was my fault for sitting there and staying with it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, as we wrap up, final thoughts, I'd love to get your final thoughts on anything that's calling to you to share.
I would just tell you, if you get anything out of this discussion, it's be okay being you, staying in your lane, making choices that are right for what you're trying to get out of life, and not being afraid to explore that. Even though I still say that's probably the hardest part for people, I think it's taking baby steps to say, yeah, let me find out more about me. Let me find the courage to ask other people even how they see me. They can at least give you some insight, because I do think that people have, they see you in a much different way than you do.
Oh, yes.
Right. And you might have some aha moments, and just be okay with that and roll in it a little bit. And, you know, you don't have to take drastic steps, but baby steps work, because then all of a sudden you get to a point where you're like, I do get me a little bit more. And it gives you the ability to be more bold with what you're asking for in your life.
Yeah. I love that. that is a beautiful way to tie this all in, because it is, I think we the more that we get to know who we are and what drives our joy and drives our passion, we get to live into the being that we are always meant to be.
Mm-hmm. And as we said, it's not always pretty. The path is not always pretty.
No, it's not.
It feels good when you hit those sweet spots.
Yeah, it is not, because I you will see, you know, we're going to do this both in video and in audio format. And for those of us, anyone watching in the video format, like this gargantuan smile that I have on my face, this is something I had to work back towards. Because if you had asked me 6 months ago for this, it would have been forced and it would have been unreal. It would not have been genuine. Right now it's genuine, but it took work. And it took me having to learn more, go deep and cry a lot. So yeah, Kristen, thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you. This was so much fun for me. And I love your spirit. And I think this, you know, the work that we're doing is important. So
absolutely. It absolutely is. Thank you.